Cincinnati Public Schools announced recently its three-year strategic plan. The five main goals are health and safety, community engagement and influence, optimized capabilities, student-centered decision-making, and growth. Some of the plans to implement these goals may be visible to students when they return to school next Monday. And joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss are Cincinnati Public Schools Superintendent Laura Mitchell. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
And Cincinnati Board of Education member Ryan Messer. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you.
You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those in the show as well. So Cincinnati Public Schools is growing, literally. Your facilities master plan prepared for 26,000 students for this year, 2019. You have 36,000 students. Why was that projection so off? What's behind this boost in enrollment?
So, quite honestly, we are giving our parents and our community members what they're asking for in terms of an education for their kids. And so people are choosing to come to Cincinnati Public Schools, which is phenomenal. Not only are people moving into the city, but parents who had their kids in private parochial and charter schools are now sending them to Cincinnati Public Schools because of the support that the board has given in terms of really listening to what the community has asked for in terms of our high schools, as well as our neighborhood elementary schools and our magnet program. So it's very exciting that people are choosing Cincinnati as its first choice.
Is this a reversal of trends? Had the district been losing students for any period of time?
Quite some time ago, before the facilities master plan, we were losing enrollment, which is probably the reason we were given the projection of about 26,000 kids. But Cincinnati is the fastest growing urban district in the state of Ohio. Where other districts are losing enrollment, we're actually gaining enrollment. Actually, since 2012, we've gained 4,000 kids. So it's very exciting to see our district growing, which means that we've also brought new schools online.
And Ryan, from your perspective as a member of the Board of Education, what have you seen in terms of institutional changes that may have helped with this growth or to help alter any negative perception or narrative about the district?
Yeah, you know, I think our city, for the first time, is starting to see growth. And that, of course, bodes very well for Cincinnati Public Schools. I'm not just a school board member. I'm also a parent that counts on this district to educate one of our children so far, and the rest of them will be coming. And I think that, you know, so many people today want a school that reflects our city, that reflects the community that they live in. And, you know, I can say that the school that our son goes to is close to our home. It's in our neighborhood. And it looks like our city when you walk inside those doors. And I think there's a real movement by parents that I encounter who want that for their children as well.
A lot of urban areas see families leave when their kids become school age because of negative perceptions of the district, factual or otherwise. I'm wondering if there's a certain demographic within the student body that's seeing a higher percentage of this new enrollment. Are you seeing it at the elementary schools, middle school, high schools mostly?
What's interesting is that we are seeing our enrollment grow, quite honestly, in our high schools. So there are a lot of people who are choosing our high schools. I will say also our enrollment took a boost when we started something called Vision 2020. The board challenged the administration to come up with an initiative to put a magnet-like focus in our neighborhood schools. And the first wave of schools, we had 7 schools. Those schools had 200 more kids than they had the year before. And so really listening to our community has really helped in terms of our enrollment, in terms of its growth. Also, all of the programming that we have at our high school level, whether we're talking about advanced placement or our ACT scores, which are on the rise, our infusion of technology with the curriculum, as well as connecting our kids to a world beyond CPS and the 3 E's. And so we have a lot of career opportunities, college opportunities within our district, which is, I think, a spark for our enrollment growth.
Last fall, the state report cards came up. I imagine that those will be on their way again soon. So you're hoping to see some growth in that area as well.
Yes.
Last year, mixed bag. The district received a D overall with some highlights and some lowlights, multiple schools receiving failing grades. I'm wondering, as you were preparing this strategic plan, Ryan, how you incorporated what you learned from last year's state report card?
Well, I think we could have a whole show on the state report card because actually a wise, much more tenured board member kind of took me through the problems with the state report card when I first joined the board. And then we took the state report card and like kind of applied the average income per family in that district. And it's almost an inverse relationship. It is inequitable in every way. And, you know, it's very easy. Let's say you're in New Albany with one of the largest tax bases with resources flooded at families who already have lots of resources. When you compare that, and sure, they look great on the state report card, and I know children in that district up near Columbus, our children face so many different hurdles and obstacles. And so it takes more funds to provide the services that we do for the wraparound support that they need. So I think the biggest learning for me is we've got to look differently at that, but also understand that that is the measurement by which our community is looking at. So we've got to make sure people understand the problems with the current measurement tool, but at the same time, and I'll let the superintendent speak to whatever she's comfortable, we're making huge improvements. People are going to be astonished just in 1 year. And that's really exciting. We are not successful until every single child at every single desk and every single classroom is meeting their full potential. But we are making great strides thanks to the leadership of our superintendent. Thanks for the focus that she's put on, of course, our magnet schools, but making sure her plan has huge change-making programming taking place at every one of our neighborhood schools now. And that's making all the difference.
Well, imagine people can look at these objectively and see that Cincinnati's economic demographics are not the same as a place like New Albany. So, Laura, when you compare your own district, Cincinnati, to some that may fit that profile a little more closely, any of the larger Ohio cities, Cleveland or Toledo, how does this district stack up when compared to those?
Sure. So when you look at Cincinnati compared to the other large urban districts, we outperform them on many of the state indicators. Although we outperform our urban counterparts, to be quite honest with you, we really compare ourselves to them, but our competition are schools that are around us. And so what we want to make sure that we do is not hold ourselves to a standard of let's be the best urban district, but let's really be the best district, because the schools that we compete with are around here. They aren't Columbus and Cleveland. And so we want to make sure that our kids are high-performing kids, that they're doing well, that they're able to go off to college, go into the world of work, or go into the military. And so we want our scores, quite honestly, on the ACT to be up, as well as advanced placement. We want our kids accepted into those career pathways. And so although we're compared to the Urban 8, we want to strive and be much better than what some might say a typical urban district.
You might even have economic disparity within the city, of course. Different parts of town see different rates of income than other parts of town. And so equity is actually a part of your 5 points that you've laid out in this strategic plan, student-centered decision-making. And in the sub-points to that part, you include equitable access to fine arts, athletics, career goals, and also equitable distribution of resources. First, explain to me what student-centered decision-making means.
Well, I think it's keeping the student and their needs at the center of every single decision we make. I think I can speak for the entire board. I speak for our superintendent when I say this. It doesn't matter which desk, at which classroom, at which school. You need the resources for that child to be successful. And that might be very different from neighborhood to neighborhood and school to school. Even the way that the superintendent and our treasurer have adjusted how we allocate our funds, it's not a divide by 36,000. It is an equity-driven budgeting process so that the resources go to those children based on their needs, not the needs of the average child. And that, I think, is what's helping to change the trajectory of children who may have a more difficult experience before and after school, to make sure that when they leave our doors, they've had every opportunity to succeed.
Does this reflect a change? Was there not equitable distribution of the school district's resources prior to putting this in the strategic plan?
Well, I think there was an attempt, but I think what again, that could be another whole show, because it is really a transformative way of budgeting that we don't know of another district doing it quite like this. that it's really taking it to the next level, and where the schools can then interact in the budgeting process and help to shape what that budget is needed for that particular school. And then they're rolled up to the overall district budget. So it's a much longer, more intense process, but I am confident that the outcomes are going to be far greater for that work.
Another key point in the strategic plan is health and safety. And in America today, school safety is a dominant part of our national conversation. How has America's increase in gun violence, particularly at schools, played a role in shaping this vision, if at all?
So safety, quite honestly, is our number one and top priority. It's hard for us to educate a child if we can't ensure their safety on the way to school, once they get there, and then on the way home from school. And so we've put a lot of measures in place to make our schools a lot more safe. But to be quite honest with you, Cincinnati Public has been a leader in this area for quite some time. So we've added additional security assistance within our schools. All of our schools have security assistance. We have provided a lot of professional development and training for them. We also offer a lot of training and professional development for our teachers and our principals in our schools. Every visitor who comes into a school, the first place that you go is into the office, and that's the furthest you can get, and you have to be released into the other part of the building. And you actually have to go through something that's called lobby guard. That's where you show your identification, and then you log into a computer, and it does a very quick check to see if this is a person who should not be allowed around children. And we've actually been able to use that to stop people from going into our building. If you're going to volunteer on a more extended basis, then you have to go through a background check, and you have to get an ID through central office. We also, at our high schools, our kids and everyone who enters the building, you have to go through a metal detector, and we wand in addition to that. And so, again, we want to make this place safe for everyone, for our students, people who come into the school, but also for our staff members. Everyone in that building has to feel that they are safe and secure when they're at school, on their way there, and on their way home. We have to give parents that security. It is our obligation and responsibility to make sure that our kids are safe.
How
and
are kids adapting to that new normal, I wonder, where they're being wanded and screened by metal detectors inside a place that, you know, throughout American history has been such a place of innocence?
Yeah, well, you know, I think as a parent, it really hit home when my little boy came home and said, "Papa, we had a shooting drill." And I thought, ugh, you know, this is just a sign of the times. Of course, we have to do that. And when I first got elected and we were implementing some of the safety plans at one of the high schools, I had lots of parents that happened to know me sending me notes, and they were, why do we have to have metal detectors, and why do we have to have all these security measures? And then it wasn't a few weeks later, there was a school shooting somewhere. So, you know, I think it is a reality of today. And as a parent, I realize, you know, when I was a little boy, the scariest thing was the tornado drill and hiding under my desk. This is very different. And just understanding that you have to be ready no matter what happens, it's part of the story. And hopefully elected officials at a much higher level will help us solve some of these issues. But for today, our job has to make sure that our children are safe when they are trusted to come into our buildings by their families. And it's just our new norm.
We'll continue our discussion on the new strategic plan at Cincinnati Public Schools after this short break. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're joined today by Cincinnati Public Schools Superintendent Laura Mitchell and Board of Education member Ryan Messer as we discuss the region's largest school district and its new strategic plan. 513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation. We mentioned at the top of this segment that you had projected for 26,000 students. You have 36,000 students this year instead. What impact has that had on hiring and your budget? Are you in need of more teachers? Is it increasing the size of classrooms?
We are increasing the size of classrooms. So there are contractual guidelines that identify the number of kids we can have in a classroom. And the board was a part of that decision several years ago to keep the classrooms low. Size low. But we've hired a lot of teachers. So this year we hired close to 400 new teachers, and we're really excited about that. And actually over the last 3 or 4 years, we've noticed that about 1,400 of our teachers have 5 or fewer years of experience. So we have a whole new crop of teachers who are coming through. And so we're very excited about that. We did a lot of hiring back in January and then all through the winter and through the spring. And so we're ready to start school with our schools fully staffed.
So this new strategic plan has 5 key points. We've discussed a couple already. Another one is community engagement and influence. And Cincinnati is this large, diverse city, both racially and economically, as we sort of touched on a little earlier. How does the district navigate and accommodate that diversity, Ryan?
Well, we have somebody who wakes up every day thinking about this, our Chief Communication and Engagement Officer, Lauren Worley.
And she's been a guest on this program.
She's been a friend of the show. and her team helps us navigate that because, you know, we've had multiple evenings where we have sat there for 2, 3, even 4 hours hearing from our public. And that's above and beyond just regular emails and phone calls and things that we get. So, you know, we, I think, have taken a very deliberate effort to articulate who all those stakeholders are. And they're vast and they're broad and, of course, very diverse. But making sure that before we make decisions that we have engaged as many people. And I think that's what all of us, whether we're on the school board or not, hope all of our elected officials do. And we take that part very seriously. And I think kudos to Lauren and her team for helping to facilitate what could be a pretty unwieldy process, but giving them a variety of live surveys that they can do online, et cetera, multiple ways that people can engage.
A fourth goal in the 5-year strategic plan is optimize capabilities. It's written in the report as, quote, we will intentionally design data-informed, customer-focused, and user-friendly processes to create efficient and effective systems. So I'm thinking, if a regular citizen's out there reading that, what does that mean?
It means that we are becoming a lot more efficient and effective with what we do. So Cincinnati Public, we have a very strong partnership with Children's Hospital. And that partnership is really centered around not necessarily the medical model, but the science of improvement. And so Children's, they have been working with us on developing processes to, quite honestly, make sure that we always have a very specific aim. We know what conditions have to be in place in order for us to achieve the result that we want. And then we measure that information or those results all along the way. And so we are very much data informed. And so we want to make sure that whoever's interfacing with us, that they have a good experience. So whether it's a teacher, principals, whether community members. And so we have put a lot of systems and structures in place to ensure that we are making our system easier for people to be able to use and navigate. The board policies guide our work, and we have developed procedures to go along with all the board policies so that we can make sure that we're following what the board has asked us to do, and also that we have systems in place to ensure that those things are happening.
We started this segment talking about the growth of the district and its student enrollment growth. The fifth goal is growth. So you want even more kids in the district.
Yeah. You know, today we have about 64% of the market share, and I come from a business background, we talk about our market share. That market share is increasing. And so we have a goal that by 2022, we will be at about a 67% market share. And we're going to do that by further listening to our community, et cetera. But we're going to respond to needs. So, you know, we opened the new Gamble High School at the former Mercy site, which is very, very exciting. And the old Gamble School is now going to be the Gamble Montessori School. We're putting a focus on the west side of Cincinnati. So many great things are happening in all the Price Hills and in Westwood. And we're making sure that part of that community development work that's happening is also a partnership with CPS, where you have high quality seats and plenty of them to welcome all of those new families that are moving to that part of town, as well as the rest of our city. And we're going to have to look for more buildings because, frankly, we're out of space. So we've got a position that's a repurposed head within the district that's going to be specifically looking at our real estate and how we strategically look at things that we could leverage that we have today so we don't have to go out and spend tons more money. I think you'll find this a very cost-efficient board, but that's going to be an important part of our future growth.
We've got about a minute left, so I'm going to go into the rapid-fire round and see if we can get some answers to just a few extra questions here. I just want to touch on this one that I thought was very interesting. You have two schools, Western Hills and Dater, both high schools that start 45 minutes later than usual this year. They'll start at 8 o'clock in the morning. Do we expect this trend to spread to other schools at some point?
Absolutely. So the board has made a resolution back in the spring to really focus over the next 3 years, making sure that our high schools have a later start time. So we've started with the two schools, and we'll continue to expand that over the next 3 years. I will say that we have over half of our high schools do have a later start time at 8 o'clock or past. So we'll continue that trend over the next 3 years.
So these are just two schools that have been added to that list, then.
Correct.
Okay. And Star Goal Stadium here in the West End, looking good? Looking
it
close
is.
To completion?
Yes.
Ready for football?
Practicing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It will be ready for the first game, which will be September the 13th.
We hope the whole community comes out because it is truly a shining star in Cincinnati,
yes.
Not just at CPS. It is unbelievable, the facility
yes.
that our children, our students are going to have a place to play. And we're very excited. September 13th is a ribbon cutting.
And just 10 seconds for you to make this pitch, Ryan. You guys are asking for a levy.
Yes. It's not going to raise your taxes. This is renewal. But, you know, we're doing all these incredible things within the district with our strategic plan. We're not asking for more money. We're saying we're going to be leaner, more efficient, more specific with our investments. And we hope the taxpayers continue to support our children here in Cincinnati because Cincinnati Public Schools is on the move, and we're excited about the future and absolutely supportive of the great things happening here, which would not be possible without our taxpayers.
Cincinnati Public Schools Superintendent Laura Mitchell and Board of Education member Ryan Messer. Thanks to both of you for coming
Thank
in
you.
Today. Appreciate
Thanks, Michael.
It. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.